Good morning, everyone. It's good to be here. Don't you love summertime? Don't you love fresh fruits? I just think of those succulent, sweet strawberries fresh from Prince Farm right behind us. June goes and picks them, and we get them. Oh, they are so good. Or plump, sweet cherries. We just bought some the other day. I mean, they are just huge cherries. And they are so good and tasty and sweet. Or how about juicy tree-ripened peaches? You ever had those? Oh, man, they just drip with nectar when you bite into them. Or how about that great watermelon or cantaloupe? So good, isn't it? Fresh fruits. And then we've got like these fresh strawberries, blueberries on our bushes. You just pick them and you let them just stay on there and just get so sweet. And it's just so nice. So if you were to ask me what's my favorite fruit, I'd really be hard-pressed to tell you one, because I like them all. Well, for me, what makes fruit so good is buying local stuff that's been ripened, you know, longer than what you get in the supermarkets, because they have to ship them and everything, so they can't leave them on the tree to ripen as long as the stuff that you get out of your backyard or get from a local farmer. Well, as you can tell, we're going to be talking about fruit today. And we read Galatians 5:22 about the fruits of the Spirit. And I think it's really fitting, after we've completed the series of 1 Corinthians that, you know, dealt with a lot of problems in the church and identified, you know, sources of weakness in the believers' lives, it's helpful to start looking at the fruit, because you can point out the faults and you can point out weaknesses, but unless there is change that comes about, unless there is fruit or a result, it's all for naught. It's all for nothing. You know, if there's correction, if there's rebuke, if there's instruction about something that's not right in our lives, if we don't change, if we don't grow and mature through it, then what did it benefit us? It doesn't. It leads to fruitlessness. But God wants fruit in our lives. God wants good fruit, lasting fruit. He wants us actively bearing fruit in the Spirit. You know, it's hard for all of us to take correction and criticism and to acknowledge to ourselves that we've not been doing right on something. And yet that's what the whole book of Corinthians was all about. And it's an expose on where things needed to be corrected. And if we don't take correction and then do something with it, we're wasting our time and God's time. And so there's got to be a humility and a submitting. Just like a fruit on a tree is submitting to the whole tree. It's submitting to the branch system and the larger branch and then the whole big trunk and then the whole root system. It's submitted to all that, because all that is necessary for its support and its sustenance. And so there is a certain amount of humility. It's not independent. And so fruitfulness is something that requires submitting to God, obeying Him, and letting Him work in our lives. So I want to start off by reading through Galatians 5:22 to 26. And in the weeks to come and in the times that I have, the next couple times that I have, we'll be going through the fruit of the Spirit. So let me just read, starting verse 22 of Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Just have a word of prayer. Father, we just ask thy blessing on thy word now as we examine it. May you unfold the riches of the truth, the knowledge of Christ to us as we look. Teach us, Lord, that we might grow, that we might bear fruit for you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as I read through these verses in Galatians chapter 5, we really have this, it's a wonderful picture and a description of a succulent, sweet-flavored, you know, full-flavored fruit, and it's called the fruit of the Spirit. And it is a fruit that should be growing in the life of every believer. It's not optional. Every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ should be displaying the fruit. And these descriptions here are just different aspects of it. You know, I don't know if you've ever read through a catalog of a Stark Brothers catalog or one of these nursery and orchard catalogs. And they try to describe to you the taste of a certain kind of fruit. And they'll describe it's aromatic and it has a hint of strawberry flavor. And they describe all the little facets of it, and they try to describe it in terms of other tastes and flavors and stuff to try and give you an idea of what it's like. And that's basically what this is. You know, the fruit of the Spirit is love, and it's joy, and it's peace, it's kindness, it's goodness, and it's looking and examining all the different sides of just the little nuances and the characteristics of it. And so here we have this beauty of this attractive and desirable fruit. Fruit is amazing. We have fun because we grow some of our own food, and I have a garden. I love it, and we've been getting cantaloupe in. And you bring a vine-ripened cantaloupe in, you set it on your counter, and then you go out, you got a job all day, and you come home, and as soon as you open the door, this strong, sweet cantaloupe aroma hits you. It's beautiful. It's very attractive. It draws you down. Wow, I want some cantaloupe. And you know, and that's what the fruit of the Spirit is to be. It's supposed to be aroma of Christ, the beauty of Christ. The fruit of Christ's work in our lives should be so aromatic, so perfumed with Christ, that it draws other people to it, that they want it. And so that's what we want to look at. But before we get into the individual aspects or characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit, let's look at just some of the principles, God's fruit principles that we find in Scripture, because that'll help us understand. The first principle I want to look at is that fruit only bears according to its stock. Fruit only bears according to its stock. And turn to Luke chapter 6 and you'll see that. The Lord Jesus made this statement as he was talking, and he made it very clear in Luke 6:43-45 that fruit cannot bear unless it is according to its stock. 43-45, for a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. You can only get certain things off of certain kind of trees. Now, since 1816, Stark Brothers Nurseries and Orchards have provided fruit trees and bushes to America. And I've bought trees from them, and it's great, and I love looking through their catalog. And they have some trees, like they have an apple tree that is grafted and has both red delicious apples, and it has golden delicious apples growing on it. They have a plum tree that has this beautiful Japanese yellow plum that matures in early July, and then on the other part of the tree they have the red plum that matures in August. And how cool is that? You know, you get two different plums at two different times, so you know it's going on. But I have never seen in their catalog where there's a tree that's bearing an orange on one side and an apple on the other, or figs and bananas, or persimmons and pecans. It doesn't happen. You can't get two dissimilar things because the stock is going to determine what the fruit is. It's got to be of the same stock for it to work. I mean, you can do amazing things like, do you know that in the propagation of lemons, that some of the best lemon trees are those that are grafted? You have to understand that in a tree you have what's called the root stock and you have what's called the bud stock. Okay? The root stock is the part of the tree that grabs the nutrients out of the ground. It's all the roots, and it comes up and it starts feeding the trunk. Okay? And then from the trunk up, from above the ground, just about an inch above the ground, going up or inch or two, then you have what's called the bud stock. Everything above that that buds out and forms branches and fruiting, that's the bud stock. Well, the best lemon trees are actually bud stocks, sweet lemon buds that are grafted onto a sour or bitter lemon rootstock, because this bitter lemon is very resistant to disease and to heat, and it's very strong. It's like a wild lemon. So they put the two together and you have phenomenal lemons. But you notice it's two different types of lemons. It's not, you know, a lemon bud to an apple rootstock. It doesn't happen. The two have to be consistent. And so that's the point of what the Lord is saying here. You can't get good fruit from a bad tree. And so if the fruit of the Spirit is supposed to be the fruit of our lives, then we've got to be on good rootstock. We've got to be on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the spiritual domain is a picture. And we see it pictured in the real domain about real fruit trees. The fruit of the Spirit only comes from those that are rooted in the Holy Spirit and are living in the Spirit. And by contrast, the fruit of the flesh is borne by those that are rooted in the flesh and live to the flesh. So fruit only bears according to the tree stock, number one. Second principle is that fruit only comes by staying connected to the source or trunk of the tree. And we see that in John chapter 15, verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it remains in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done to you. There's that picture, isn't it, of the abiding, the staying connected. Have you ever noticed how removing a beautiful flower from a vine or a tree stops the growth of that? Isn't it neat? For example, we have a passion fruit plant in our yard, and passion fruit flowers are so beautiful. They're so delicate. I mean, they almost have the delicacy of an orchid, you know, in the inner workings, the little stuff. It's just beautiful. And if I were to pick that and take it into the house and put it in a bowl of water to enjoy it, I could enjoy it until it faded. But what I've done is I've killed that fruit, because that was the beginning of the fruit. And as soon as that flower on the vine withers, it starts growing. The fruit starts growing in it. And that's true of the flowering trees, whether it be a cherry tree or a peach. It always starts out with a flower. So if you remove the flower, if you disconnect it from the branch, you've ended its life. It can't bear fruit. It's got to stay connected. And that is just an absolutely fundamental principle, that you cannot pick things, even fruits that you allow to grow halfway to maturity. You can't pick it and expect it to then grow. You know, if I take a cantaloupe that's just this small and it's supposed to get this big, I can't take it and then say, well, I'm going to just set it in water and watch it keep growing. It won't work. You've disconnected it from the vine. You've taken it off. And so you cannot take things off because they are broken from the life-giving flow. Well, in the same way, if we're cut off from the life-giving flow of God's Word, if we don't feed on it, if we're not drinking in the sap, the nutrients of the Word of God, then we're going to shrivel. We're going to dry up. There's only a few things that you can reattach, and that's called grafting it in. And I had some fun and some experience with grafting out in Congo because I was trying different stuff. And I found that it's a very tricky thing because everything has to be just right. Number one, you have to have the right bud. Can't be too old. It's got to be a young bud. And you cut it out. And then the stalk of the tree has to be the right place on the host tree. So I was trying to propagate lemons. And I was trying to do some oranges too. But you have to have the right bud, the right stalk at the right, you know, at the right place on it, and then thirdly, you have to have it at the right time. The right time being that it has to be a time of the year when the sap is flowing and it's coming up. Because what you're trying to do is you cut in under the Cambrian the Cambrian layer and you put a little T. And you just slit it so that you can slip the bud in that little T right underneath the skin of the tree so that it's right in the line of where the sap travels. And then it bonds to that bud and it heals itself over there and seals it. And now the life-giving sap of that tree goes into that little bud and that eventually sprouts and grows. And so everything's got to be right, but they've got to be of similar things. They've got to be of the same kind of tree. But you notice that it was cut out, that bud was cut out from something else. But while it's still young and it's still alive, it can reconnect